on the Barbell. I am Ben Alderman.
And I'm Blair Morrison. For this week's episode, we decided to talk to some up-and-coming athletes. Usually on this podcast, we're talking to established games and regional level athletes, people that have been there, done that, and we're kind of trying to figure out what their secrets are. But I thought, or we thought, that this week would be kind of cool to talk to those that are trying to get there.
Yeah, I think that this is a really cool aspect for a lot of people because there's a lot of guys, a lot of girls who kind of fall into that boat of getting to that next level. And you and I are around some of the maybe people that we think have a lot of potential. So it'd be really fun to talk to those guys.
Yeah, and I think there's my personal opinion is that there's not a huge need to reinvent the wheel. And even though it's kind of interesting to talk about and delve into everybody's training strategies and you know what their backstory is on how they got there, I mean, a lot of this just comes down to the same basic principles of training hard, recovering well, and you know being motivated.
Well, we talked last week, right? Our show last week, we talked about what athletes do in the off season, what's a good idea, what's not a good idea. And since we talked about that last week, it like kind of actually fits, kind of flows really nicely into these up-and-coming athletes.
It's almost like we're professional podcasters.
I think it is.
We just open right into this.
Professional means you get paid to do it.
Oops,
yeah. So we're professional at something, but we're not professional podcasters.
All right. Well, the first athlete we're going to have on is Robert Gray. He is 25 years old from CrossFit Anywhere, a fine establishment in the Northern California area with some excellent coaching and pedigree.
Great coaches.
I thought it was a gymnastics gym. I saw this gymnastics.
Among other things. But Rob,
there's some platforms
welcome,
that kind of throw you off when you walk in the door. But other than that, it's like parallel bars.
Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Rob, so I was just joking earlier. So you're at CrossFit Anywhere, but it really isn't just a gymnastics gym. Tell us a little bit about like how long you've been there, and you know, kind of how you started.
So I walked into CrossFit Anywhere's El Dorado Hills location in January of 2013. And at that time, I was doing personal training out of another gym pretty close to there. And just walked in, just kind of talked to the guys, and slowly started coming to more and more classes or just training with the coaches and stuff. And from there, moved down to the CFA gym that I'm at now in Folsom, and have been there full-time training my clients and as well as coaching some of the classes about a year and a half now.
Were you a CrossFit believer, like, when you walked in to the gym the first time? Or were you somebody who had been an athlete? Or, like, what made you and prompted you towards CrossFit?
Well, at that time, I just wrapped up the final year of football that I was going to be playing. So that was my – I was done with competitive sports. I played, you know, 1 year of college football, and I knew it was done, and I needed a competitive outlet. So that's kind of what drew me to it. You know, I knew that there was an option or an opportunity to compete, and I think that's what was the biggest drive. You know, CrossFit, in my opinion, hasn't really reinvented a lot other than just the methodology. It's deadlifts, it's cleans, it's stuff from other aspects of fitness. So I think it was the competition that really brought me to it more than anything.
Now, I've gotten a chance to watch you train and progress over the last 2 years, but from your perspective, what's been the hardest adjustment for you coming from like a football training plan to competitive CrossFit?
The hardest adjustment has been doing body weight stuff. Yeah, body weight.
Big body.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rob, how big are you, man?
Well, when I first started CrossFit, I was probably 218. I was just, like I said, I was just coming off football, so
yeah.
Big bulking phase right before CrossFit started.
lots of cheese pizza.
Yeah, lots of cheese. Yeah. But yeah, so I was probably 218 right now. I'm hovering right around 200 pounds. I'd like to get a little bit lower, but yeah, I think, you know, CrossFit really highlights your weaknesses and definitely gymnastics and body weight, and more specifically body weight pulling has been probably the hardest thing coming off of, you know, training for football and sports specific training. You know, I did a lot of agility stuff and all of that for football and was in really good shape, but there was definitely glaring holes in the training for football as you transfer over into the sport of fitness and stuff like that.
Do you feel like there's some athletes out there with your body type or with your athletic background that you can kind of look up to and try to use their progress or their success as motivation for you?
Yeah, I mean, Instagram allows you to see a lot of people, right? So you know, there's a lot of big guys out there doing a lot of incredible things. You know, for me specifically, I'm looking at the guys doing bodyweight stuff, you know. So seeing guys like Andrew Rape, he does some crazy stuff, you know, bodyweight style stuff. You know, obviously Jason Kalipa is kind of just like the big guy, you know, the pinnacle of what big guys can do. You know?
Even though we know Jason, he's only like 5'8".
Right.
So yeah. he's not long. Like,
I think that's true. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
we better give Jason his extra inch. I think he's 5'9". Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
It's true. I don't want to piss him off. Football program height, maybe 6 feet.
Yeah, 6 feet.
True.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys I look up to. I think there's also Chris Harris. I think, Blair, we've talked about him before.
Yeah.
He does some crazy stuff. So there's definitely guys out there that push me individually. I think, you know, these guys would agree that are pushing them too, you know. Mm-hmm. And Instagram's been a huge motivator, you know, because you can just see what other guys are doing. And maybe on a random Tuesday, you know, 11 o'clock, you don't really want to do any training, but you go on there and you see the guy's latest post, and it's kind of like, you know, a little reinvigorating, kind of lights a fire under your butt and gets you motivated for the day.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think a lot of us, you know, we use that social media connection to just be able to find a little extra motivation, a little extra drive every day. You know, when you look at that, when you look at the guys on Instagram, and when you look at your open placing this year, where you finished in the Northern California region in like the 40th?
I was 48th this year, I believe.
48th. So 48th this year, had we been in the old format, you would have went as an individual, or you've been able to qualify as an individual, mm-hmm. To the regional level. So when you look at your placing, when you watch Instagram, you know, you kind of start to develop an idea about where you are as an athlete and how far you have to go. Where do you see yourself going in the 2016 season? What are you looking to accomplish this year? I guess as an individual, but then also, you know, what do you see yourself doing?
So for this year, I'm really excited to get back on our team. You know, 2 years ago we qualified as a team and had a good showing. Last year we didn't quite make it, and that was kind of a letdown for us. But I think this year we're gonna have a really strong team as far as looking at the open and regionals. But as far as me personally for the open, I'd love to get into the, you know, top 30. In the region, in the NorCal region, and really make a big push for the following year, when, you know, most likely I'll probably go for the individual bid or qualification, whatever you want to call it, in California.
So like a 2-year process for you to go there.
Yeah, I think so. This year I really want to compete with Blair and another one of our guys, Denny. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something I've looked forward to. We didn't get the opportunity 2 years ago because Denny, you know, went into the police academy and stuff like that, and you know, I think it'd be really cool to be able to be on that level with these two guys and then the girls that'll be on our team as well.
When you're looking forward to the Open this year and maybe the following year, trying to qualify as an individual potentially, I know that's your ultimate goal. Like, not necessarily what your physical limitations are or where you feel like your biggest, you know, competitive weakness is, but where do you see your mental game? Like, do you have the belief that you will be there in 2 years? What kind of doubts do you have? Because I think that's a big part of, you know, what makes the elite athletes consistently at the top is they don't even question the fact that they're supposed to be there. And that's a really hard thing to do, I think, when you're coming up.
Yeah. And I think those guys, whether, you know, guys or girls that are at the top of this sport, they all started where I started from, where you started from, where Devin started from. So, you know, we've all had the doubts, and I think doubts are natural, but you have to be able to have the strength mentally to kind of convince yourself in the moment that those doubts aren't true, that those don't kind of run, you know, run your game or whatever. And you need to just constantly be telling yourself that you can push harder, that you can do a little bit more, that it's okay to feel a little run down, but you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. But yeah, I mean, I think the mental game is probably the biggest side of this whole thing. You know, early on in CrossFit, I remember having a conversation with somebody and just saying that I think the majority of this is who can embrace feeling like they're going to pass out or fall over at any moment and pick the barbell up again, or hop back on the rings, or do another burpee. You know, obviously there's technical aspects to all the movements we're doing, and there's, you know, efficiency and you know, proper rest times and all these different things. But I think it really comes down to who can push themselves to the limit longer and hold on to it longer.
Yeah, and as Rob's saying that, I can remember being in plenty of those situations myself. And I actually think that what he's doing and what a lot of these up-and-coming athletes are doing by being on a team first and being allowed to push themselves to the limit, like to that passing out point or to that failure point, mm-hmm. and then having somebody else be able to carry the load for you a little bit, like developing that level of urgency is really, really critical to becoming a great individual athlete, because you have to know your limits. I mean, that's one of the most important things, right?
Yeah, totally. I think that, you know, even the workout that we saw you guys do today, for you guys who are listening, you didn't get to see this workout, but I think it's so good to get to know that threshold, right? And that's one thing that I think you and I maybe didn't have as much coming up, right? Sure, we had in other sports, but, and we could kind of reflect back on it, but at the same time, when you're in a CrossFit, like at first, the team thing wasn't all that big of a deal.
And there wasn't enough people.
Yeah, so you're always going indie, you know what I mean? You're always going individual. You're showing up to competitions maybe by yourself, or maybe there's a few people from your gym or a few people who you knew. But, you know, you're doing that stuff by yourself. I think that the mental aspect that Rob was referring to is really important. If you don't have that mental aspect, it doesn't matter how genetically gifted you are, how much time you're willing to put in the gym. Like, at some point, you're just going to get folded.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
I think one thing that really helped me as far as competition and even at just like the regional level is when we did the team 2 years ago, in 2013?
Right. No, 2014.
Well, yeah. Well, right. Whenever it was in San Jose.
Yeah, 2014.
2014, yeah. So when we did that, you know, you can't really – I've never been on a stage like that in a stadium or auditorium that's been filled like that, with all those people there just to watch you guys compete. And you can't replicate that in training. And I think the adrenaline takes a toll on your body physically. And it's something we were just saying a little bit ago. Everything at regionals felt harder. Like, we trained really hard in preparation for it, but you can't mimic what that felt like. And then the turnaround and the spike in adrenaline, the drop in adrenaline, the spike again. And you know, I think going team really, really helped kind of open my eyes to what that stage feels like, and will help prepare me going into, you know, this year, the following year, and whatever goes on beyond that. But yeah, it was definitely more of a more different than I expected it to be, you know, compared to training.
I mean, the general fatigue of those weekends is really, really intense. Like individual is, I would say, twice as taxing like mm-hmm. as the team competition, both physically because you're doing more work, but also just there's so much pressure that you put on yourself. And Ben, you and I talk about this a lot, you know, the expectations that you have, the expectations that you're carrying for the people that you represent, the year of training you put into it. I mean, it's just a lot to carry on, you know, by yourself. And the team, at least you get to kind of split that load a little bit. But I think you're right, Rob. I think that it is a great way to prepare athletes for, you know, the ultimate burden, which is when you're out there all by yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think just before we cut you loose, Rob, what do you think is going to separate you from the other, you know, guys who are in that top 100 who are trying to make it into that regional level? You know, what do you think is going to be the difference between you and them? Because, you know, there's a lot of you guys who are out there who are hungry, you know?
Yeah. Shit, we had a kid walk into our gym who's 19, and he's been competing for the last 2 years. He's a beast. You know, there's a lot of guys like that we haven't even heard of yet.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of guys that are at my level right now, kind of the in-between, just kind of the weekend warrior and hopefully trying to get to the point of regional athlete, sponsored athlete, you know, games athlete, whatever. And I think the biggest separator will be who can wake up, kind of like what I said a little bit ago, who can wake up on a Tuesday after crushing themselves on Monday and maybe even Sunday and can still grind and push, but also have that balance of being smart too. You know, one thing me and Blair have talked about a lot is programming intense enough and enough volume, but also knowing when to pull back and take care of your body and mobilize and do all these things that will allow you to continue to get better in the long run, not just get really good over the next month and then kind of have a little valley in your training and maybe you feel worn out or whatever. So I think just being smart in training, and then also keeping an edge, not feeling comfortable. You know, and it's cool getting to come out here, you know. Jay and Dev are out here grinding, doing the same thing I'm trying to do, and it's motivating, you know. It's motivating to see them pushing themselves and pushing their limits, and then, kind of the same thing about Instagram. See their posts and, oh damn, you know, maybe I need to do a little bit more, or now I got to watch out for Jay. He's crushing these muscle ups or whatever, you know. Right. So I think just staying motivated and being smart and taking care of my body so that I can compete for as long as I want to.
I think you bring up Jay and Devin. We're going to bring Jay over and talk to him a little bit, but really appreciate what you were saying, Robin. That's really smart is to what you were saying, and that's to be smart, right, and not worry about maybe overdoing it at times and just allowing yourself to keep moving forward.
Just to recap for our listeners, Ben thinks it's smart to be smart.
That's probably the smartest thing I've ever said.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Rob.
All right, now we're joined by Jason Ungata. Don't worry about trying to spell it. You'll never get it right.
Never.
Ungata.
Ungata. There's an extra C, I think, in there. Or something.
Silent, bro.
It's silent. A silent C. It's not an extra. It's just a silent C. So, see you, Rob. And Jay has been a coach at my gym for, I think, going on 3 years?
Yeah, about 3 years.
Yeah, going on 3 years. And he finished this year in the Open at?
90th.
90th, right? Yeah. From the year before where you were?
Like 150, somewhere around there.
150, so.
Moving on up.
Moving on up. So Jay, 3 years into coaching. Uh-huh. What, 4 years into CrossFit?
Yeah, 4 years.
4 years. How'd you find CrossFit?
It's funny. I actually found CrossFit on a Groupon. I used to be training like CalFit, 24-hour fitness, stuff like that. And a guy randomly came up to me and said, do you do CrossFit? I'm like, dude, what's CrossFit? You know what I mean? And I randomly found a Groupon, and I went to go try it out. Thought I was fit, you know, doing everything right, and I just got crushed. Like,
where was this?
I actually started at Rockland CrossFit.
Groupon,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, with Gary. He started me on my first CrossFit class. And ever since then, it was, like, super humbling, and you know, I just wanted more, you know, because, like, obviously wasn't doing what I needed to do to get to that next level. Or, you know.
You said you were a personal trainer at that time?
Like in my garage.
In your garage. Yeah. Okay. Were you, did you play sports in high school, in college, anything like that?
No, I did not. I was actually a fat kid.
You were a fat kid.
For
how much, fat?
How fat? All right, bro, you want to bring this up?
Okay. Yeah, we want to know how fat Jay Ungata is. It does sound like a fat kid name.
We should
just
do. Yeah, we got to have
it
a good before and after
cookies
picture.
And pizza rolls, bro. I weighed 250 in starting my senior year in high school, and now I'm down to 190.
Damn, 250.
So he jumped up from
no muscle at all either. Just
no muscle,
straight
just
fat.
Straight fat.
Just blank canvas.
Yeah.
Blank canvas, yeah.
250. Rob's running back in the room like, there's no way I'm letting this dude beat me next year. So you went from 250 to now 190?
190, yeah.
So you know what that means, though? It means his bones are super dense.
Super dense. Yeah.
No wonder.
That was my excuse, too. Big
strength training is just, he can handle it.
So, so you went from being a fat kid to finding CrossFit, now coaching at the other premier gym in Sacramento. And CrossFit Iron Mile.
The other gym. I like that.
Just the other gym. The other premier gym. So where do you see yourself kind of like moving on in CrossFit? I mean, how do you see yourself? It's hard, you know, because there's so many people who are good. Mm-hmm. You know, you see guys like Blair and myself train who've kind of been at that next level where you want to go.
Right.
You know, where do you see yourself going?
My original goal starting CrossFit, like I wanted to get to regionals as an individual. Like that's just been my goal since – like our old box when I first started, maybe like a year in, you know what I mean? And for me, I feel like I step on the scene, I feel like I'm already like the underdog, you know what I mean? Like you look at me, I'm not the most fit looking guy. Like I take my shirt off, I don't look like Blair or Ben or Devin, right? Like I feel like I step on the scene, like I automatically fall into the category of this guy can't hang with everybody else. So for me, I feel like I have a chip on my shoulder or I need to prove somebody wrong. And that's just kind of what fuels me through every workout. And like I said, so my goal is to try and get to regionals as an individual. team so fun. Like I can do, I would like to do team, but my, like I said, original goal is individual at regionals.
Dude, chip on the shoulder. That's such a great thing to have like in your back pocket that always drives you. I feel like for me, that's how I felt when I was playing football and pretty much any high school sport, because I was super small in high school. And so
still
I always
small,
felt
bro.
Like...
Yeah, no, you're still kind you of small, yeah.
Well, dude, you could have eaten me in high school, sounds like.
I'd love to.
So I feel like I had that, and then I missed that, because I definitely feel like in CrossFit now, maybe a little bit the last couple years, I felt like an underdog, but it's definitely more fun feeling like the underdog than feeling like... you're expected to perform and succeed.
Right. I feel like there's a little bit less pressure too. You know what I mean? Like you don't show up on the scene like, oh, this guy's going to crush it. And if you don't do well, you know, there's no like burden on you, you know? So it's nice at the same time. And it, cause it also gives you that fuel too, which is good.
Well, we've been kind of through that transition, both of us, you know what I mean? Like underdog to being expected to do well, to being underdog, depending on, you know, what situation we're in. And being the underdog is, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's way more fun.
Man, I mean, this year at regionals, I felt like I had a little bit more expectations. But, I mean, dude, but when you're the underdog and you're just out there kind of pushing it because you want to prove who you are and that you belong, right? Like, but nobody else really cares, right? Nobody else really cares, like, necessarily how well you do. I mean, the people around you who love you and care about you, they care.
Right.
But, you know, the fans, they don't know who you are.
No,
you know
what I mean? But it's not for the fans. I think you want to prove the other competitors –
exactly.
Yeah,
that's how I feel.
They're like, if they're overlooking you, they don't think they have to worry about you. Well, what the hell, man? Why aren't you worried about me? Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel. And they're like, where'd this guy come from? You know what I mean? Like, been here, bro.
Yeah, I've been here.
been here, bro.
Yeah, that's a quote when Jason. Work. That's when Jason Kalipa asked me last year. He's like, Ben, where'd you come from?
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, and then I was like, I've been here the whole time, bro. You know.
That's
and
right. I remember that. That was at San Jose State, right? Yep. When you were in like third place or something.
Yeah.
And Jason was first.
Yeah, running away in first place. Yeah.
But I remember that. He's like, oh, Ben Alderman, where'd you come from?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's like I said, that's the point at which things start to change for me.
Right.
Right. And now all of a sudden, if Jason Kalipa sees me as somebody who has potential, you know, then all of a sudden you're. Everyone else
sees you as a threat too.
He's not the only one, right? Once Jason Kalipa sees you, he's probably the last one to kind of notice you, right? And so once he notices you, then you know that everybody else notices you too, right?
And that adds a whole other level of
pressure, right? And then we saw what happened to me with the pressure on the third day.
Again,
right? But anyway, what's it like for you, Jay? I mean, I know this is actually a good question. I wish I asked Rob this, but you know, what's it like for you coming into Iron Mile each day when you and I train? You know, knowing that I've been where you want to be, do you feel like that's a help? Do you feel like that's a hindrance? Do you feel like, I mean, how do you see that dynamic?
It's a huge help because I, you know.
I was hoping you'd say that. I was teeing him up hindrance. To say that, but I just wanted to know. And anyway,
yeah, because, you know, you've trained with somebody who's been there before, so they know what it takes to get to that next level. And if you trust the process and you just continue to keep grinding through, keep working, then – I mean, if you truly give 100% every single time you come into the gym, there's no other option for you than to just get better. You know what I mean? So, like, it's great training with you, and then now Devin coming in, and it just pushes you harder. Like, you know, you want to get better. You don't want to fall behind. You know, it keeps you moving forward, which is great.
So, during this process, I'm sure you've had down days or down weeks or down at least down workouts. How do you deal with that? Like, if you have a bad day, or like Ben comes in, puts a workout on the board, and he just, you know, mops the floor with you, or like you're just like, damn, I know I could have done better there. Like, does that ever get discouraging? Do you feel like you're, you know, maybe not making progress fast enough? Like, how do you deal with those types of setbacks?
It's definitely discouraging to get mopped up, you know, but then it gives you something to work towards, you know. Then, you know, instead of just showing up to the gym not having a plan, like you're like, okay, I need to do this and this and this, right? And then you just keep working on those, and eventually you're going to get better, right? And then you just find something else you need to work on, and then keep getting better, you know?
Have you seen yourself kind of, like, get closer to Ben, like, in these workouts?
Getting there.
Yeah?
The strength thing, not so much, but, you know. Everything else, I'm creeping. I'm trying.
Hey, there's a – I don't know if you guys were watching or how much you were able to watch during that workout we did earlier. When it comes to mid-level weights and cycling a bar, especially from ground overhead, where it's a clean and jerk or a snatch – I mean, Jay does it better than I do. You know what I mean? Like, he does it better than I do. I think, you know, maybe with, like, something like a Randy, 75 unbroken,
Right.
I think I'm going to get him on that one because I'm just a bigger athlete right now. You know, I've been in that fire just a little bit longer.
Right.
When it's really heavy, I'm going to get him on that too right now. You know what I mean? But
the middle of the weights.
The middle weights, you know, and it's just kind of mindless. The dude can cycle the bar as good or better than anyone I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Rich Froning-esque.
Oh, okay.
Rich Froning-esque.
I'm blushing. Heard it here. I'm blushing. Heard it here first. I do remember a point during that workout. I think it was during the 95-pound set where during the
snatches,
right. I felt like I had a bit of a lead, like maybe five reps. I was like, okay, I'm just going to do sets of five. And then I dropped the bar and turned around, and you had already dropped your bar. And I was
right.
Like, shit, he must have gone.
He does that to me all the time. He does that to me all the time. I'm like, oh, okay.
Watch this fool.
And I could see the chip on his shoulder when that happens, right? You know, he's like, I dropped the bar, and he's just like, okay, I'm going to keep going here. And he just keeps moving. So
it's, for me, like, I'm not the strongest dude, like you were saying. So I need to focus on my technique, and I feel like that gets me further in a workout. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, muscle snatching is not going to allow me to hold on to the bar, you know? Right. So I have to, you know, focus on technique, which is a big thing for me.
Do you feel like you have a strength within CrossFit? If you think about CrossFit as all these different, you know, capacities, whether it's conditioning or high end, low end strength, flexibility, whatever. Do you feel like you have a strength in any one area?
I don't feel like I'm really good at any one thing. I'm just okay at pretty much everything. You know what I mean? Like, depending on the workout you throw at me, I'm always going to be like the same distance behind the strong guy if it's like a heavy workout, or I'm going to be the same distance behind somebody else if it's like a longer conditioning workout. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I'll tank on anything else, but I'm just kind of okay at everything.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen Jay kind of, you know, his maturation through CrossFit, and it's like, it is exactly what he said. He is not, I drank both those Fit Aids, bro. It is exactly that. Like, he can hang with you but not beat you on the heavyweight, and then he can hang with you on the long workout but not beat you, you know, on that running workout. And the thing is, in that, because you never win a workout, the one thing that has to be better than everyone else is your mental game.
Right, yeah.
And that's Jay's strength, is his mental game. And everybody who trains with him would know that for sure. Like, his mental game is definitely the strongest. So, I mean, with that, Jay, like, the last question we asked Rob was, there's a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are going to try to move from 90 or 150 to the top 20.
Right.
What, like, is going to take you to the top 20 and not them?
You just have to put in the work. Like, some days you feel trashed, you know, but if you feel like you can do something to get better that day, you just have to do it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to, you just drag yourself to the gym. If you have to squat, like, you need to squat. You know what I mean? And if it sucks, like, it's going to suck, right? But you just have to make yourself do it. Because if you take too many days off, or if you feel like, oh, I don't feel good this day, I feel good this day, like, you're never going to feel great, right? So you just have to come in and just do the work you need to do to get better.
Do you have expectations for this year?
I'd love to go individual. But top 20 is, that's...
Do you think you can do top 20?
That's, I'm going to try, like, for sure. I would love to go team. Team's so fun, you know what I mean? But if I can qualify top 20, that would be my original, or that would be my...
That's your ultimate goal.
Ultimate goal, exactly.
I think that, like, with Jay, like, the thing that I see, and just because I get to coach him a lot, is, you know, and this is probably true of a lot of athletes in his position, okay? So let me just kind of take a second, and everyone out there who is not great at any one thing, right, they're in the same position as you are. If they want to make a run at the individual, they have to sell out every year. They right. can't say, maybe, like, Rob's answer was, you know, in 2 years, I'm going to go indie, right? Rob's a pretty strong dude. Like, he's naturally a very strong guy, right? So he has this thing he can kind of bank on, why he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to wait 2 years and kind of build up my body weight stuff. Like, you got to build up everything.
Right.
Right? So, like, you have to sell out every year, and you have to train harder than everyone every year. And I say that because I kind of feel like I'm in that same boat, although I do have
you
this.
You are not in that boat.
I have the strength to – I know I have that. So – but – But you have to remember, my goal isn't regionals. My goal is the games. And
what
so
is
when
the
I
mirror
look at
that you're looking in and telling yourself that you are just okay at everything, but not really good at any one thing?
Tripping. Dude is tripping.
Tripping.
Hey, I'll tell you what. That's how I really think. And that's what fuels me to push hard every single day. So if I start telling myself that I'm strong or I'm good at whatever, then I'm going to stop training that thing, and I'm not going to be able to beat, you know, Josh Bridges at a bodyweight workout. I'm not going to be able to beat Neil Maddox at a strength workout.
I understand what you're saying. Like, hey, you got to lie to yourself sometimes to make the gains.
I lie to myself all the time.
Every day.
This is obvious.
Yeah. All the time.
Like, you think Steph is with you for your good looks?
I know that's not true. I know that's not true. Oh, man. So I think that we're going to switch gears, and we'll chat with Devin Newsom.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Jay.
Cool. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
So, Devin.
Hey.
Welcome.
How you guys doing?
So you are the a different type of athlete, from my estimation, that we've seen with Rob and Jay. You have incredible explosive strength. You're going to the American Open this year. You kind of have a higher level of aptitude in a specific area of CrossFit. Would you agree?
I don't know if higher level of aptitude. I don't know, because that makes me seem like I feel more comfortable doing those movements.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say that, like, I'm better at that than most people.
Can you dunk a basketball?
Yeah, I've done that before, yes.
How tall are you?
About 5'10".
Okay.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Enough said. Yeah. So Devin is also a coach at Iron Mile, and he does a lot of other really cool things. He works with people with spinal cord injuries. He's on his way to becoming a physical therapist. And all the cards are stacked against him for reasons I won't say on the podcast. He weighs about 185 pounds, 180 pounds.
Yeah.
185 pounds.
185, 180.
The dude can front squat 370 for three. He qualified for the American Open, right? So we already know he can clean and jerk at like at least 335 and snatch, I don't know, what did you do the other day?
The other day I hit 280.
280. He snatched 280, right?
At a 185 body weight.
At a 185 body weight.
I mean, this guy needs to be all over Instagram tagging.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody and everything.
Yeah. So, and I mean, he just, like you said, he's got a lot of maybe raw potential that he is just
he's got good
now,
muscle fibers.
Yeah. That he's just now kind of figuring out. But I think the more interesting story would be how you found CrossFit and why CrossFit kind of lured you in.
Right. Why CrossFit and not Olympic weightlifting or Ninja Warrior?
Rapping.
Why rapping? Well, I did that. I did that for a while too. But the reason I started CrossFit was I got done playing college football. Played football at San Jose State, and
were you or were you not on a Madden football game?
I was not on a Madden football game.
Okay, you were on a football game of some kind.
I think everyone in the Division One college football was in that game.
College.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Everyone in Division One was in that game.
There you go.
So I ended up. I just got done playing football, you know, and when you get done, everyone knows when you get done playing something competitive, you kind of got an itch that you can't scratch really.
I like that.
The strength coach that we had at San Jose State was part of one of the owners of CrossFit Moxie, and
that's
so
right.
I've been.
That's right.
Training, kind of doing, you know, what a lot of people do, just working out at 24-Hour Fitness or Gold's Gym or wherever they're working out at.
So lame.
and he was like, hey, you know, you might as well come start working out at Moxie with us. And so there was a group of guys that I played football with at San Jose State that, you know, during the off season, and a few of them were in the NFL, so in the off season they were training there. And, you know, guys getting ready for various things. And so he was like, come out and train with us. So like, okay. It's a way to kind of get into CrossFit, but it's still in a familiar environment because I know the coach. I know the guys I'm going to be with, so I'm not going to be too out of my element.
I hate it when I'm out of my elephant.
Yeah. Right. So too out of my element. But so just got into that, and prior to doing that, I'd actually been one of the people that was like almost anti-CrossFit. I'd seen the videos, but not done too much research. So I was just going off of what I'd seen. Those aren't real pull-ups, the biggest thing, right? Those aren't real pull-ups. What are they doing with their... And then you find out when you go into a gym that has great coaching, that has, you know, it's competitive, there's good coaching, everything is safe, and you kind of just fall in love with it because you're being competitive. So there's, you know, you start, oh, this is great, you know. And then you start feeling, you know, get the endorphin rush of the competition. You get to work out with your friends, and you make new friends in the gym because there's a lot more communication in a CrossFit box than there is in, you know,
a gold
gym or that type of thing. And so you kind of fall in love with it, and then you get addicted, and then you like, you don't want to miss a day. I'm like, shoot, I can't be to the gym. How am I going to get there? And you start, and then you end up, you guys know,
yeah,
5-6 days a week, not more.
And you had a pretty good, obviously from playing college football, you had a good strength training background. You'd done Olympic lifts, you'd done squatting and deadlifting and stuff like that. But when you came into the CrossFit gym, there's probably some stuff, like you said, like kipping pull-ups that you'd never seen before.
Yeah, there's a lot of different movements for sure. And for sure, the gymnastic stuff, right? You go from working out and training for specific things, very powerful movements for 4 or 5 seconds at a time, to you need to be able to do a movement that involves a little more finesse and do it over and over and over again for sometimes 15, 20, 25 minutes. And that's the biggest thing.
Was that something that took a while for you to develop?
It took a while. Kind of implies that I've developed it. it is taking a while. It's been 3 years of CrossFit now. Still working on developing it. Being here at Iron Mile has been huge, because I get to work with people like Ben, who's been to a level that I would like to get to. Jay, who we previously talked about, has just, his mental game is so insane that he's cycling reps on a barbell or doing pull-ups and things when you think he's tired, and he does a set of 25 of something. So you get to work with those, and so I see what it needs to look like. So it's helping me to develop that type of thing.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we train a little bit differently at Iron Mile, I feel like, than at other gyms. But the reality is it really comes down to hard work, you know. And that's what I see is both you – and Jay willing to put in hard work. Rob, I see you guys working really hard. I didn't ask this question of the other guys, but where do you feel like your work ethic comes from? Because it seems like you're willing to put in the work. It seems like you're willing to put in the time. Where does that come from? Where is that developed from? Where is that developing? Like, what is that?
you know, I'd say it comes from the team sport background that I have, right? Working out in the gym, almost has a team sport feel to it. Even when it's an individual workout, you're working out with people, so you're kind of pushing it for them in a sense, to whether it's to compete against them or to give them motivation to, like, hey, come on, you need to come with me on this one. Let's go.
You mean you're pushing yourself to help push them?
To help push them, right? Right. You know what that person's got to do, so, you know, almost that. And it's, or you're on a team with someone, and then you will obviously have to push yourself, but it's the team sport background. College, push myself, you know, to help the team. In high school, same thing. You play team sports. You're doing, and it's been team sports my whole life growing up. And so it's kind of, there's no other way to do anything. You push yourself, or you're not part of the team.
Right.
Right. That's what I kind of remember. Is what I remember most from team sports when it came to training was that I needed to push myself so that I could be a starter, so that I could get playing time.
Exactly.
I'm almost trying to separate myself from the other guys on the team, in the eyes of the coaches.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you get some of that in CrossFit as well?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you could come in and not push yourself, and you could
just be another guy.
You could not push yourself, and then you could not accomplish anything. That's fine if that's your goal, but it's not.
Right.
Know? So, and that's how it is with everything. You either go in and push yourself and you accomplish things, or you don't, and you just work on that mid-level fitness that
that nobody really wants.
One really wants, right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, is Devin's mid-level fitness would be twice as good as you're in mine. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
his explosive is crazy. His fitness is crazy. But
yeah, I feel like Devin's one of those guys who, you know, genetically is a very frustrating person for a lot of us to be around, because you have so much, you know, raw potential that, you know, like you said, you're in the process of harnessing it. And we all look at you as, you know, the type of guy that could really make a splash, you know, if you keep grinding, keep putting in the work. Do you feel like there's any sort of like burden of expectation put on you because of that?
You know what? Not too much, because I feel like I'm seen as one of those people that is kind of the, I'm right with Jay and Rob, right? We're not, no one really knows who we are. So when we show up to a competition, people aren't like, oh, there they are, you know, great. Like, all right, we're competing.
Roll out the red carpet.
Yeah, we're competing Devin, for second Jay place now.
Right? Rob. There's that dude with the elephant.
I walk in with my elephant on a leash, or riding on it, right? But no, we don't walk in and people are like, we're automatically competing for second place. It's not like that.
Right.
So I don't think there's too much of an expectation. From the outside, you know, obviously there's an expectation that I put on myself that I think any athlete that's trying to do well at something puts on themselves. You guys know as well as anyone. Mm-hmm. But as far as outside expectation, I don't think there's too much pressure in that sense.
Yeah. I think as a coach, like, one thing is, like, I want to know when to push Devin and when to push Jay. And, you know, like, for me, I know when I originally started getting around other people in the sport, a lot of times it was you, Blair, who I would be able to be around, and my expectation was to win. I mean, when we first met for the first few years, or first couple years, I didn't win. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Any CrossFit workout, I didn't win. I remember one time I came up there and I worked out with you. We did overhead squats, and you were like, hey, the goal is 15 at body weight. And I got 15 at body weight, and I think you got 13, like, and a half or something right. like that, you know? And I weighed more than you, and that was, like, the first time. Like, you can tell I remember, because it was one little thing, you know? And it's like, that's the first thing I remember beating you at. And, you know, it's like, you don't know what those expectations are of yourself. You just know what you, I mean, of, from others, you just know what you put on yourself, you know? And I think for Devin, Jay, Rob, I think that you and I can both probably attest to the fact that you see how much pressure they put on themselves to be great.
Yeah. And I think for all the athletes out there that are, you know, they have these goals, like everybody does, and whatever it is, if it's to qualify for the regional, if it's to qualify for the games, if it's to make a team at a gym, like whatever those goals are, it's really, really, really important to not let the goal overwhelm the process. And I think that's what we're hearing a lot from these guys is like, hey, it's all about hard work. It's about coming in on days you don't feel like coming in. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing to hear. That's what I like to hear as a coach. That's what I think can be the separator, because goal-based training, or, you know, result-based training, you know, it doesn't always carry you through. It's got to be process-based training.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got to be, you know, daily grind-based training, because you're going to have bad days. And, like, if you just quit when you're not feeling good, or if you just – you're going to miss out on the stimulus of the training that you were originally supposed to get.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Those days when you feel the worst are the best, right? The people, everyone works out when they feel good. January 1st, well, probably not the 1st, but January 2nd, right? Everyone's got their resolutions. They're feeling good. That's when everyone's working out.
Right. It's 24-hour fitness is full. The parking lot is full.
It's when you're
– Gold's Gym.
Yeah. Right. And then spin it forward, though, to actual game day, right? Yep. Ben, we'll just use you since you, like – we've been talking about this last year regional. Mm-hmm. Your goal was to make it to the games. Your goal was to podium at the games.
Yep.
You failed.
Failed.
You didn't make it.
Miserably.
Does that mean that the whole year of training was a waste?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not, right?
No.
There's only one winner.
Yeah, there is only one winner. That's so crazy. There's one.
There's only one winner.
We're all training, and there's only one guy who
so
wins.
If your whole value system is based on the result, everybody's going to feel like a failure, and that's not the way it should be.
No, it isn't. I think that you said the process. The one thing that you have to enjoy is the process, because most of life is a process. And even if you win, even if you're the one guy, that moment it's short. You wake up the next day and you're still you. You've still got to, you know what I mean? Like, it's
right. Ben Smith is now trying to go through the process for 2016.
Pressure, you know, so he better enjoy the process of having that pressure. He better enjoy the process of trying to repeat, right? But if he doesn't enjoy the process, right, it's not going to be there. It's not going to be there. So, Devin, as you – I mean, we're talking about the process. We're talking about all this different stuff. Just as we – right before we let you go, what do you feel like is going to be your separator? Do you think you're going to be able to rely on the explosive strength or that raw potential that we talked about in terms of getting you to the next level this year? Or is it something else? Is
right.
there something else going to separate you?
You think, like, the Open, there's not a lot of that in there, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I'm not going to be able to rely on the raw strength. But yeah. I've had that, and I haven't gone to regionals.
Those are the fastest three toasted bar I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's no 40 yard dash in the open.
What is your fastest 40 time, by the way?
You know what? I don't even know.
Okay,
got to be in the 4.5s.
It's
sub three.
It's in
sub three.
It was. I've timed a few 4.3s.
4.3s.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah. That, if anybody doesn't know how fast that is, that's really fast.
It's NFL player
fast.
It's
NFL combine fast.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's none of that, so it doesn't help me at all in CrossFit. Right?
Right.
I mean, we're not racing in the open. Doesn't matter.
That American flag right there, he can run and jump and touch that with his head.
All right, but, so what's going to – how are you going to do it, man?
It's going to be these grinder workouts that no one wants to do that are 20, 25 minutes long, and you're just – and you're 12 minutes in, and you're like, man, I'm barely halfway. I got hundreds of repetitions to go. Just do it.
Whenever, you're gonna be able to do that.
6 a.m.
Better
10
than these other guys.
You have to like. That's what you have to be good at because that's what the open is. It's monotony. It's something because of the way it's structured. It has to be something that can be repeated over and over and over and over again on film, right? So you can't move too far.
Yeah, if you're that genetic guy, that genetic freak. You know, in a sense, and we'll just put Devin in that category, even though he doesn't put himself in there, which is probably a solid thing for Devin to not to do.
Right.
But if you're that guy, you have a real hard time when it comes to doing like a set of thrusters to not move the bar as fast as you can while you feel good. Right. You have to learn how to slow down, and he has to learn how to put himself into that dark place for longer without. Like today, I saw him on the ground. Like he was laying on the ground in the middle of the workout. I'm like, hey, bro, I need you to stand up, pretend like you're not tired, right, and get to that dark place. But if he can live in that dark place, he always is going to have the genetic potential that you and I, we just don't have.
Don't have it.
Right? We're never going to be as fast as Devin. Like we could stop doing everything, literally everything else, and just sprint. We're never going to run a 4.3.
Bro, I've tried that.
We're never going to run a 4.3.
That's what you do when you try to get a college football scholarship is you spend all summer trying to get a tenth faster in your 40 time.
Yeah, and you never ran a 4.3.
It doesn't happen.
No.
Like, all these like speed and agility camps, it's a sham. Like, bro, you're fast or you're not fast.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens.
And we're never going to jump as high as he does.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to happen. So the thing for Devin is that he can control is he's like, hey, I've got those tools. So why don't I just live in that dark place? And if I go to that dark place each and every day without hurting myself, then he's gonna be there, whether it be this year or next year.
I think that's a good observation. It's like some athletes have to learn how to dial it back. Mm-hmm. Other athletes need to learn how to dial it up.
Right.
You know, and I think I'm the type of athlete that needed to learn how to dial it up. That's what took me to the next level. And Dev, you're probably one of the guys that needs to learn how to dial it back and just be – you know, medium pace, especially for the open. So.
I'm gonna just say one thing. Like, Neil Maddox is really freaking strong.
Yeah.
But until you get to the strength workout, you don't really know it. He doesn't move like he's really strong. He moves...
smooth.
Very smooth, right? All the time, smooth and chill. Glasses on if he's outside, breathing through his nose, just pissing me off.
Just so angry.
You know? And just so angry, but just smooth. You know what I mean? And then he always has that genetic potential. He always has that raw talent, that raw power.
Ooh, Ben Smith, same way, right?
Yeah,
he's
same way.
He's got the same genetic potential. He is so explosive.
It's crazy. I don't understand how these guys are like that. But then they look like almost monotonous in their movement. And then when they need to be explosive, they can be explosive.
Right.
Right? Devin has that same potential. So there you have it.
Man, I'm pumped for this year.
I am too. Yeah. I am too. We've got some really good athletes around us. We've got an exciting offseason right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun to follow all these guys and all these girls. Hopefully we'll get some of the girls on in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if you guys want to follow us, at Beyond the Barbell, at BTB Podcast.
Oh, because you can even follow Devin at Devin Newsom on Instagram. You can follow Jay at
Jay Ungata.
Jay Ungata, J-U-N-A... Oh, hang on. Give Jay the microphone.
Jay, here. Take a mic.
No spelling.
I've been writing this on his paychecks for... Actually, I don't do the paychecks either.
It's J-U-N-G-A-C-T-A on Instagram.
I told you you wouldn't get it right. And then you got Robert Gray.
I am Robert Gray.
I am Robert Gray.
That's Robert's easy to spell. Robert. Yeah. And then how do you spell Gray?
G-R-A-Y.
There's two spellings. A-Y.
Yeah, A-Y. Okay.
American Gray.
Okay. So,
all right, guys. Until next week, this is Beyond the Barbell.
Out.